Hello. You are listening to the Grieving Parents Sharing Hope podcast. We are here to walk with parents on their unwanted journey of child loss, guiding them to a place of hope, light, and purpose, not in spite of their child's death, but as a way to honor his or her life. And now, here is your host, author, speaker, and bereaved parent, Laura Deal.
Hi. As always, thank you for joining me today. This month, the month of July, is National Bereaved Parents Month. So for the month of July, as part of this, we would like to give you a special gift from all of us at GPS Hope. We have created a free PDF called Rebuilding Your Life, A Gentle Guide Toward Hope and Healing After Child Loss. This is filled with gentle encouragement and practical thoughts and ideas to help you take your next step wherever you are on your grief journey. Throughout the month of July, you can download it completely free with no email address required. It's just simply our way of letting you know that you are not alone and to honor you as a bereaved parent. You'll find the link in the show notes to be able to get this, or you can visit gpshope.org. We pray this little guide reminds you that even though the road is difficult, there is hope, and you don't have to walk it alone. I hope you take advantage of this and get this free gift from us. This past weekend was a huge celebration for us here in the United States. Many of us either heard or watched fireworks, watched parades, saw flags waving, or gathered with our families all across the country. Or maybe, like many bereavers, if you're here in the U.S., you stayed home because celebrations simply felt too painful. This is the time of year when America goes all out to celebrate our freedom. But what does freedom mean when you're living with the grief of losing a child? That's what I would like to talk about with you today. This year was especially significant because our nation marked its 250th anniversary. I know for some of you countries out there, we're still a baby. But 250 years. It is amazing to stop and think about all that has happened over those years. Generations have come and gone. Families have celebrated together. They've faced hardships together. They've sacrificed, persevered, and continued moving forward. But if you're listening to this podcast, there's a good chance that this holiday didn't feel much like a celebration. Maybe you watched fireworks with tears in your eyes because someone was missing. Maybe you just plain stayed home because it just hurt too much to be surrounded by happy families. Maybe you smiled on the outside while your heart quietly ached on the inside. Or maybe this year caught you by surprise. Maybe you thought you were doing okay until you saw another family together having fun, enjoying each other, or something similar. And then the reality of your child's absence washed over you all over again. Holidays have a way of doing that, don't they? They remind us not only of what we have, but also of what, or should I say who, we've lost. What is supposed to be a joyful celebration can become a painful reminder of the empty place where our child should be. As bereaved parents, we don't experience holidays the same way we used to. Every birthday, every Christmas, Mother's Day, Father's Day, graduation season, and even for us here, the 4th of July, maybe for you it's Independence Day in your own country, carries with it an awareness that someone we love should still be here sharing these moments with us. And that realization never completely goes away. Freedom. Now, this is a word we hear over and over during this season. We celebrate the freedoms we enjoy as Americans. We remember those who sacrificed so those freedoms could become a reality. We recognize that freedom has never come without a cost. But as bereavers, especially if your loss is still fresh, like in the first 5 years or so, if we're honest, freedom probably is not the first word that comes to mind. In fact, A lot of bereavers would probably say they feel just the opposite. After our child dies, grief has a way of making us feel trapped. Trapped by memories that show up when we least expect them. Trapped by unanswered questions. Trapped by guilt over things we wish we'd done differently or things we wish we had said. Trapped by fear that something else terrible could happen to someone we love. Sometimes we're even trapped by the expectations of other people who feel like or tell us that we should be doing better by now, when inside we know grief does not follow a timetable. And sometimes, if we're really honest, we can even begin feeling trapped by grief itself. Not because we want to stay there, but because grief becomes so much a part of who we are that we don't even know what life looks like without it. If I start laughing again, am I leaving my child behind? If I begin enjoying life again, does that somehow mean I love him or her less? If I move forward, will people think I've forgotten? Will I forget? Those are questions that most bereavers quietly wrestle with. The truth is, grief changes us. There's just no going back to the person we were before our child died. Now, I don't want you to think that means we're always going to be in this painful place. I talked about that in an episode last week. That's just not the case. But while we eventually do find a new way to live, there are still days when it feels like we're carrying invisible chains that no one else can see. And if that's where you find yourself today, I want you to know something. Jesus never expected you to pretend that those chains are not there. He isn't asking you to ignore your grief or somehow force yourself to feel happy because you're a Christian. He understands sorrow. He understands loss, and he understands what it feels like to carry unbearable pain. But he also speaks about a kind of freedom that grief cannot take away. And that's what I'd like us to spend the next few minutes talking about. Now, stay with me. I'm not doing a bunch of Christianese here. I'm not doing a bunch of, you know, what you may be used to hearing about how Christians should be. Jesus talks about a kind of freedom, like I said, that grief cannot take away. One of those places is in John 8:36, where Jesus says, "If the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed." We're also reminded in 2 Corinthians 3:17, "Now the Lord is Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom." Now the Spirit lives inside you, right? So that means somewhere inside you, there is freedom. Now, these verses can feel very confusing after the death of our child because we certainly do not feel free. I remember feeling like I was being held captive by such intense pain that seemed like it would never end. I was weighed down by questions that just had no answers. My whole world suddenly felt smaller than it had ever been before. It was as though grief had built walls around my heart, and I couldn't imagine ever finding my way beyond them. So, what kind of freedom was Jesus talking about? Well, it certainly was not freedom from grief. If you've listened to this podcast for very long, you know I would never tell you that following Jesus means your pain magically disappears, that you've got to get the victory over this because you're a Christian. We know better than that. Jesus himself wept. He understands sorrow. He understands what it means to lose someone you love. So these verses have to mean something deeper. I believe the freedom that Jesus offers is not freedom from grief, but freedom from allowing grief to become the walls that define our lives. Child loss does change us forever. It leaves scars that will remain until we see our children again. We will always love and miss our children. But while grief becomes part of our story, it doesn't have to become the story. It doesn't have to determine who we are or where our lives end. Think about some of the ways grief tries to hold us captive. It whispers that we'll never smile again. Jesus gently reminds us there's still joy to be found, even if it looks very different than it once did. Grief tells us that our future has been destroyed because our child is no longer here. Jesus reminds us that He's already waiting for us in every tomorrow we have yet to face, and that our time with our child isn't over. It's just put on pause until we join them. Grief tells us we're completely alone because no one really understands. Jesus says, "I will never leave you or forsake you." Grief tells us our life no longer has purpose. But Jesus continues inviting us to walk with Him, even though the path looks nothing like we ever imagined it would. And then there's another wall that I think many bereavers quietly live behind, and that's guilt. If only I had. If we would have, why didn't I? Those thoughts can replay in our minds over and over for years. Sometimes they are based on real regrets. A lot of times they're based on things we never could have known or controlled. Either way, guilt is a cruel companion. It keeps our eyes fixed on yesterday instead of allowing us to see how God wants to meet us today. Fear can become another wall. After you've experienced the unimaginable, it's understandable to wonder if something terrible could happen again. You may find yourself holding your breath every time someone you love is running late. They don't answer a text. A phone call late at night can make your heart race. You may wonder if you could ever survive another loss. And those fears are real. And Jesus does not condemn us for having them. Instead, He gently invites us to bring these fears to Him. He asks us to trust Him with the things we can't control and to rest in His presence, even when our circumstances have not changed. God showed me a long time ago that fear and faith come from the same place. It's all based on the unknown future. So we get to choose if we're going to have fear in the unknown future and let it torment us, or are we going to have faith and trust in the unknown future that God is already there and that whatever happens in the future, He's going to give me the strength and the grace to get through it, just like He's doing right now. It may not seem like it, but He is deep inside you. He's giving you the grace and the strength for the next day, the next hour, the next minute. I believe that this is the freedom Jesus is talking about. It's not freedom from loving our child and missing them, hurting because they're not here. It's not freedom from tears. It's the freedom to know that grief does not have the final word. Our child's death changed us, but it doesn't have to define our identity, although it does at the beginning. I remember feeling like when I met someone new, I wanted to introduce myself like, "Hi, I'm Laura and my daughter died." I mean, I felt like that's who I am now. Our grief will walk beside us for the rest of our lives, but it does not have to sit on the throne of our hearts. That place belongs to Jesus alone. And when we continue giving Him that place, something beautiful begins to happen. The chains don't fall off overnight. The walls don't suddenly disappear, but little by little, most of the time it's so little we don't even think anything is happening, He begins opening windows of hope. Then, in His perfect timing, I know we want it to be so much sooner than it is. I remember just begging God, telling Him I just want to stop hurting so bad. I don't know why it takes so long. It's probably because the love is so deep. It takes a long time for that deep, intense pain to be worked out of us. But in His timing, His perfect timing, He opens doors we never imagined we would be able to walk through again. If you have a hard time believing me on this, I want you to listen to last week's podcast. It's episode 355, and I talk about God bringing out of that place of suffocating darkness, out of the pit that we think we're going to be in for the rest of our lives. I think it will really encourage you. We discover through the freedom that Jesus gives us that we really can breathe again. We can laugh again without betraying our child. We can love others deeply without loving our child any less. We can look toward tomorrow without feeling like we're leaving yesterday and our child behind. That, I believe, is the kind of freedom Christ offers every grieving parent. So, what does this kind of freedom actually look like in everyday life? I don't think it's something dramatic that happens all at once. Like I said, for most of us, it's something God gently grows in us over time. It's a journey. For one thing, it's the freedom to stop pretending. So many bereaved parents feel pressure to put on a smile because they don't want to make others uncomfortable. I remember that so well. It just seemed ridiculous that it was my responsibility to make the people around me comfortable with my grief of the death of my daughter. We tell people we're fine when we're really struggling. We convince ourselves we should be farther along in our grief than we are. But God is not asking us to pretend. Throughout Scripture, we see people bringing Him their honest emotions. They had it out with Him. David poured out his heart all through the Psalms. Job questioned God. Jeremiah lamented. Even Jesus cried out in deep, painful anguish. God is not intimidated by our tears, by our questions, by our sorrow. He invites us to bring all of it to Him. Freedom also means giving ourselves permission to grieve differently than someone else. Every bereaver's journey is unique. Some parents find comfort being around other people. Other bereavers need quiet. They can't handle the chaos, the noise, other people. Honestly, that's me, okay? I have had a hard time with noise and chaos. It's gotten better, but when Becca first died, I just being in crowds and things like that, just I couldn't do it. Some want to talk about their child every chance they get, and others hold those memories close and they share them only with a few trusted people. Some bereavers can attend family celebrations. They want to go. They want to be part of what's still happening. Others need to stay home for a season. None of these responses automatically make someone stronger or weaker in their grief. Just because one person can go to a family celebration and you can't does not mean that they're stronger in their grief. It's just different. We do not have to measure our journey against anyone else's. So freedom means allowing God to lead us one step at a time instead of trying to live by someone else's expectations or comparing ourselves to another bereaver. It also means giving ourselves permission to experience joy again. Now, I know that can be one of the hardest things for a grieving parent. Sometimes we feel guilty for laughing. We wonder if enjoying a vacation, celebrating another child's accomplishment, or simply having a good day somehow means we're leaving our child behind. But joy and grief are not enemies. They can live in the same heart. One doesn't erase the other. I know God showed me quite a while back that joy and pain can exist in us together. And the reason is because joy is a fruit of the Spirit, while pain is happening in our soul. So we can have joy, we can have peace in our spirit, while simultaneously our soul is experiencing the pain and the grief of losing and missing our child. The joy we experience today does not diminish the love we have for our child. It doesn't lessen how deeply we miss them. In fact, I believe the ability to laugh again is one of God's gentle gifts to us and something we need that brings a measure of healing to our shattered hearts. We even read in Scripture that laughter is like a medicine. It is strength for our bones. It's strength for us. And we need to laugh, not because we've stopped grieving, but because he's reminding us that grief is not the only thing he has for us. And he also is reminding us that he has the final word. Death is not the final word. The enemy does not have the final word for our child or for us. Maybe one of the greatest freedoms of all is the freedom to keep loving our child without believing we have to stop living ourselves. For a long time, many of us feel like those two things can't exist together. If I keep living, aren't I somehow leaving my child behind? But what if living well is one of the ways we continue honoring them? Not because we have to, not because we're trying to prove anything, but because the love they planted in us is still growing. The kindness they inspired, the compassion they've awakened in us, the strength we've discovered that we didn't know we had, the faith God has been building in us, those are all part of your son or daughter's legacy. Their earthly life ended far too soon, but the impact of their life can continue through you. Every time we choose compassion because we understand suffering, every time we encourage another grieving parent, every time we share hope when it would have been easier to stay silent, our child's life continues touching this world. I've often said that our children leave gifts behind. I even teach a workshop session on this topic. Some of those gifts take years to recognize because they're wrapped in so much pain. But as God continues healing our hearts, he slowly helps us see the ways our children have shaped us into people who love more deeply, notice those who are hurting more, and understand the value of every single day. And that is not replacing our child. That is refusing to honor our child's death more than honoring their life. That is carrying forward the love they left in us. As our nation celebrated 250 years of history this past weekend, people reflected on the sacrifices that helped shape the country we know today. History matters because it continues influencing the present. The same is true for our children. Their story did not end the day they left this earth. Their love still matters. Their influence still matters. The way they changed us still matters. And because of that, their legacy continues. And maybe that's one more picture of freedom. The freedom to carry our child with us instead of feeling like we have to choose between remembering them and living the life God still has for us. We don't have to make that choice. By God's grace, we can do both. Next to Christmas, the 4th of July was Becca's favorite holiday. Not only did she love the huge fireworks displays the cities would provide, but she and her husband would spend a chunk of money purchasing personal fireworks to shoot off at their house. The 4th of July has never been the same since she left. There are still moments when I think Becca should be here. She would have been super excited about the extra fireworks going off this year for the 250th anniversary and would have absolutely loved the drone shows that happen now up in the sky for celebrations like this. And I know some of you are probably thinking or want to write to me and tell me, you know, what she's seeing there is so much better than fireworks. I know that. But it doesn't keep me from missing her, right? In a time that was so enjoyable for her and as a parent, we enjoy watching our children enjoy things, right? Missing her deeply this time of year, I don't think it will ever completely go away. As a matter of fact, you can tell my voice has been shaky just talking about this, fighting the tears. But I've also discovered that I can enjoy watching my other adult children have fun with this holiday, and especially love the times I get to be with our grandchildren, having a family cookout, seeing them play and laugh and appreciate the awe of the fireworks without feeling like I'm leaving Becca behind. And for some of you, you don't have other children. You don't have grandchildren. And I am so, so sorry. But it does not mean that you can't learn by the grace and the strength of God to still enjoy things in a different way that you used to enjoy with your child. Freedom is not found in the absence of grief. Freedom is found in the presence of Christ while we grieve. Child loss may change every part of your life, but it cannot imprison a heart that continues turning toward Jesus. As I watched extra flags flying this past weekend and all kinds of extra red, white, and blue decorations, I was reminded that every freedom has come at a cost. And yes, I will say what we've all probably been thinking, that Jesus knows how deep the cost is to give us freedom. The cost he paid is more than anything any of us will ever experience. But as Pereavers, we do know something about costly love. We continue loving a child we cannot see. We continue carrying memories that no one can take away. And because of Jesus, we can also carry hope. Not because life turned out the way we wanted, but because the one who walks beside us has promised he will never leave us. We may not feel free from grief, but we can discover what it means to live freely within it. And I would be honored to pray over you right now. Father, you see every single heart of every person who is listening to this. Lord, you know the grief. You know the pain. You are inside us. And I believe because you're inside us, you are experiencing it with us. You have promised you'll never leave us, never forsake us. And it may have felt that way when our child died. But Holy Spirit, you are still in us, and your desire is to give us freedom. Yes, Lord, you do want to give us freedom from the pain, but we know it's not an instant thing. I don't understand it, but you walk us through it. And Lord, while we're in the deepest part of the pain and darkness, you are with us, and you don't expect us to give up that grief, to just walk in some fake pretend victory because we know you. Lord, instead you come and you're our shepherd. You're our comforter. You are our healer. You are everything we need. And so, Lord, I just pray these things over everyone listening, over every Pereaver. Lord, walk us through. And as you do, give us the freedom that I have talked about. Lord, nothing is impossible for you. And Lord, it's not leaving our child behind. We know that, and we thank you for that. And Lord, I thank you that our children are not just in our past, but our children are still in our future. They're waiting for us. They're with you. They're having wonderful freedom that we have yet to experience. So Lord, help us while we are here now to walk in greater and greater freedom within the grief, within the pain of missing our child, while we wait to see them again and to be part of their lives again. And I pray these things in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. If today's conversation about living in the freedom Christ offers while carrying grief resonated with you, I'd like to encourage you to take a look at our Pereaver with Hope t-shirts and ball caps. There are several colors to choose from, and the design features a kintsugi heart. Now, if you're not familiar with kintsugi, I've done some podcasts on it. You can look it up. But it's the Japanese art of repairing broken pottery with gold. Instead of hiding the broken pieces, they're highlighted, reminding us that something broken can still have beauty and value. Now, I think that's a beautiful picture of what God does in our lives. As Pereavers, our hearts have been shattered by the loss of our precious child. we will never be the same. But through God's love and His presence, He gently begins bringing healing to those broken places. The scars remain, but they become part of a story of His faithfulness. Now, across this kintsugi heart are the words "bereaver with hope." Now, a bereaver is a parent who's been bereaved of their child. You've heard me use that several times in this episode. If you look up the word bereave, and you can find out the root word reave means a ripping, a tearing, being violently taken. And that's how I felt when Becca died. And so a bereaver is a parent who's bereaved of their child, a parent who's had their child ripped away from us. So anyway, across the heart are the words bereaver with hope. I love that because while losing our child will always be a part of who we are, it's not the whole story. We are bereavers, but we are bereavers with hope. Not because our pain is gone, but because our hope is found in Jesus Christ. Whether you wear it as a quiet reminder to yourself or as a way to let another grieving parent know they're not alone, my prayer is that it will encourage conversations and point others toward the hope and freedom we've talked about today. Now, you can find the Bereaver with Hope t-shirts and ball caps, along with other items created especially for grieving parents, by going to gpshope.org and click on the store tab. Each week, we take time to remember the children who have birthdays during that week. This is a special time to honor each other as bereavers as we remember our children together. So here are this week's birthdays that were sent in. Rachel Korn was born on July 10th and is forever 22. Eric Breslau was born on July 11th and is forever 25. We celebrate with these two families the day their children came into the world. We know it will always be a day worth remembering and celebrating. Now, before continuing and wrapping up this episode, I want to take a minute to remind you about our October retreat. Now, the reason I'm doing this after the birthday segment is because Eric Breslau's parents, Lou and Val, started a foundation several years ago in their son's honor called Blessed by E. And thanks to a donation from the Blessed by E Foundation, the price for the all-inclusive weekend for this GPS Hope and Healing retreat is quite low for two nights lodging, five meals, the venue amenities, and the blessing of not just Dave and I sharing, but also Dr. Doug and BJ Jensen of Healing Hallelujah Ministries. Doug and BJ are fellow bereavers. They are wonderful speakers, and they are very anointed song signing artists. They bring music to life visually through American Sign Language. It is really something. It is so touching and beautiful. This GPS Hope and Healing Retreat will be in Sarasota, Florida, the weekend of October 15th through the 18th. Be sure to check it out at gpshope.org/retreat. Now, there's going to be a link in the show notes to click on for any of the web addresses or the URLs that have been mentioned to make it easy for you. When Becca first died, I never imagined that one day I would be sitting here talking to grieving parents around the world through a podcast. I never would have chosen this journey. But I can see now that God has taken the greatest heartbreak of my life and used it to help me walk beside others. This podcast is listener-supported as an outreach of the ministry GPS Hope. If you have been helped by it, would you consider helping us continue by partnering with us? You can join us over in the Patreon community for as little as $5 a month. Just go to patreon.com/GPS Hope. Let me give a final thought here. This nation has spent 250 years building a history. As grieving parents, we often think our child's history ended the day they died, but it didn't. They left a legacy that continues to shape who we are. Their influence, their love, the ways they changed us, and even the ways God continues working through their life are still part of our story. just as a nation's anniversary reminds us that the past continues to influence the present, our children's lives continue to matter. Their story did not end when their earthly life ended. There is still freedom in Christ, freedom to learn how to live a life of meaning and purpose again. And this is not in spite of your child's death, but because of his or her life. So hold on. Pain eases. There is hope.